All right, the Tzur Merabbanon, we're learning Hilchos Brachos, an introduction to Brachos. This is part two of the introduction. You'll forgive me for keeping my leg up. I hurt my knee. Like I said before in shul, I had a dream last night. I was fighting with the angel of Esav. I woke up, Utzaleh Ali Recha. I'm limping. All right, Asher Fu Shleima. So last week we discussed the importance of brachos, and the basic question was raised, how is it possible for man to praise God? So we did a few answers from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, from the Sefer HaChinuch, and now we saw the Nusach HaBrachos, how the Nusach HaBrachos, the very text of brachos, which after all encompasses much of our lives and our service of God, we're immersed, we're surrounded by brachos at all times. So the Nusach HaBrachos reflects the basic ideas of brachos, and we'll see exactly how they how it's done. There are certain things that are sine qua non. You know, at the beginning, the Shloshim Markivim, three ingredients, basically, we all have in common. First, the Gemara Brachos says, Daf Mem Amud Beis, Amar Rav, Kol Bracha Shem B'Haskaras Hashem Eina Bracha. A bracha in which you do not mention God's name is not a bracha. All right? So you would think that should be obvious. You're not going to mention God, so who are you saying the bracha to? Even though there are informal, ad hoc brachos that do not mention God directly, all right? Or mention him through a euphemism, brich rachmana, for example. But obviously, this would seem to be clear. You have to have a reference to the deity, to the person to whom the brachos are being recited. To the deity to whom the brachos are being recited. Next, the Yerushalmi, in the last parak of brachos, Rav Amar Tzarech Lomar Atah. Rav says that the bracha has to say Atah. Ushmul Amar Eino Tzarech Lomar Atah. You don't have to say Atah. It's enough to say Baruch Hashem. But to say Baruch Atah Hashem, Shmuel says not necessary. What's the machlokas? Yerushalmi really doesn't go into any details what the machlokas is based on, nor do the commentaries go into any detail. But what would we think? All right? What's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? So you're saying a bracha, so Baruch Atah Hashem? What's Baruch Hashem? Baruch Hashem is what we say when, you know, we're trying to be kind, to invoke God in our daily events. How are you? Baruch Hashem. It's not a bracha as much as it is praise of God. So what are the two sides here? So obviously Rav holds that you have to direct a bracha to God. And it's a sense of intimacy, all right? The difference in Spanish between tu and usted, all right? Tu is a more intimate form of second person. Usted is a more general form. But you have to say atah because it brings a person in closer proximity to God. It gives the person who's uttering the bracha a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As opposed to Shmuel, Ein Atzarech Lomar Atah. Why? Why would he say, you don't have to say Atah? Too intimate. We're talking about the Borei Olam, all right? You say Atah. It's like saying L'Havdil Usted to a great distinguished notable, all right? I'm sorry, it's like saying to a great distinguished notable. Who are you? Disrespectful. Shmuel holds it's disrespectful to say Atah. So if you want to say it, you can say it, because the brachos give us that privity of relationship with God. But Ein Atzarech Lomar, you don't have to say it, because if you become too familiar with God, then it's almost a denigration. It's too much. I have to tell you, I see this bumper sticker all the time in Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Ohev Otcha. Ever see that? It's ubiquitous, all right? There's something in the Lithuanian mind that recoils at something like that.
Is there na-na-na-na after something?
No. It's usually a Hasidim or Edot HaMizrach. It just seems too personal, too intimate. Ani Ohev Otcha. Even though we have in the davening, we have references like this as well. But nonetheless, that dynamic is really at the heart of the machlokas of Rav Shmuel. Anyway, Paschi, you need the Shem Hashem.
In German, you have Z,
Right, similar thing.
And do.
Do, correct. That's correct.
I don't know what that character
is. I think do is also the intimate one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's yeah, and Z is the more formal one.
Right, right, right. So you have Hasgaras Hashem, mentioning God's name, and you have Atah. So we have Atah Hashem. Okay, what else do we need? Malchus. Here, back in the Gemara Brachos, Daf Mem Amud Beis, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol Bracha Shem Malchus Eina Bracha. Any bracha that does not say Melech Olam, that God is the Melech, is also not a bracha. B'diavad, let's say you leave out some of the words. All right, how is it possible to leave the words of a bracha? Listen to some Chazaras Hashatz, and you see words are left out.
Yeah. Wouldn't this solve the Atah problem?
If you said Melech Olam?
Yeah.
No, we'll see in the next source, in the Budraham, because in fact, it's a totally different focus. Melech HaOlam is totally different than Baruch Atah. It's second person and third person. No, if all you had is Baruch Hashem, Melech HaOlam, then what you're saying, basically, is that there's no relationship. It's just an acknowledgement. It's like, you know, Kivyachol, third person, as opposed to the you. There's no I thou, there's an I he, okay? But you see, Chazal wanted both, not just one. So here quotes Chacham Ovadia. What's that?
Who else would it be?
What do you mean?
If it wasn't for the...
By the way, I don't want to talk out of school, but there are a lot of peoples in the world who say blessings that are not direct to the Borei Olam. All right, in ancient world and the modern world.
Yeah, but I presume if you're saying it in Hebrew and you're saying...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I understand. Yeah, say brachas in Hebrew, though. Say it in any language. All right, it's one of the things that Nem Mars B'chol Lashon. What's that?
Bracha Tereshem Dayan Ames, is that a bracha?
No, it's the whole thing. Bracha Tereshem Melcholam Dayan Ames. You say the whole bracha. We say Baruch Dayan Ames as an expression of grief, but it's not meant to be a bracha. It's meant to be a bracha, but you're not chayiv in the bracha. So then, if a person's chayv in the bracha for shmura, then you say the full text, right? Anyway, Chacham Ovadia writes in Yalkut Yosef, "Kol bracha shem b'haskar shemu malchus ain't a bracha." So as the Gemara says, any bracha shemu malchus, mention God, mention Melech Olam, is not a bracha. V'mdileg shemu malchus yachzi varech. You omitted, you have to go back and say it again. V'yesh omer afilo dileg elateva saolam levad. Some say even if he just omitted the word ha'olam. Elokeinu, Melech, all right, the king, like we say in Yishtabach, Kael, Melech, Kael, Cheolamim, all right, say Melech, Melech, king, insufficient, Tzarech Lachzor Levarech, the Melech Levad Eino Malchus. If you don't say of what the king is the king, then you're not Yotze, it's not a Malchus. Just call someone king, Lahavdil, LeBron James, king of what, all right? That's the issue. V'yesh cholkim v'sofek brachos l'hakel. Now those who are cholik, and if you just leave out, if you say melech, then, like Dan was saying, in context, say rachak elokeinu melech, right? Asher kishem tzos v'tzivanu, all right, then you can assume to whom the reference is, that it's melech olam. But nonetheless, l'chachil, you have to say it. Now again, you see the change, yeah.
We've all seen those movies where... You know, the king comes in and they're going through like the whole, this whole the king of this, the king of that, the king of the other thing about
Monty
Python. Okay, fine.
No, I'm kidding.
King of the funny hats. Right. Although the rabbi of the funny hats. Oh, but you're going through, I mean, you know what, and this was just, you know, in the movies, I guess they're basing it on something, but, you know, the king and whatever all of the accolades they give, they're introducing.
Right. Well, you have the royal family. No, not just the royal family. You have that in Britain. You have all these titles. There's a name for it. Noblemen's or something. No, ennoblements are given the baron of this, the lord of that, the earl of this, you know.
Right. But, and when the person comes over here, they're not going to just going to, you know...
Right.
You know,
right.
Joe Schmo's working and Joe Schmo Earl.
So then you have to distinguish between those Milachim and the Melchola. Right. There's a difference.
But Lahavdil, or maybe just an extension of, here you're saying Bariolam, and you're just saying Barei. Right. So you have to say the Olam in that same, what's the accolade of?
Right. Okay. That's the first argument. He says the Yachzi Yavarach. You have to say it again.
The reason for suffix brachos lahakel is because you don't want to repeat Shem Hashem?
Yeah, the two understandings of it. One is that it's a din derabanan. It's any din derabanan. There's a special din say derabanan kula. But in fact, what you're saying is what the Rishonim say, that you wouldn't need a separate klal of suffix brachos lahakel because any suffix derabanan is lakula. So why then do we have this call Sufik Durabanan Sufik Brachos Lahakel? It could teach us that there's not just a dimension, it's not just a natural progression from Sveika Durabanan Lakula, but has its own dynamic, its own parameters because of Losis Hashem Hashem Lakelashov. That you can't say God's name in vain. Well, so bracha levatala, saying God's name in vain, a bracha that's in vain, is actually a negative.
I mean, isn't there almost...
So we're reluctant. Suffolk bracha means you don't say it, not that you do say it. Yes.
But isn't it, I mean, with this formulation, isn't this almost a form of tefillah?
Most brachos are a form of tefillah. That's correct. So look, Shmon Esrei is made up of 19 brachos.
I mean, even brachos nena.
Yes, correct.
It's still correct.
We'll see. Magen Avraham mentions that point. Let's see, because if you again look at the nusach, the text that we use, there's a switch. What's that?
It's not a tefillah.
That's a shavach.
Right. Correct.
Yeah, but it's all the same framework. A tefillah is a person standing before God and internalizing certain basic truths. So that's what we do. We say some masturbations like all the brachos. Anyway, there is this transfer from the second person to the third person. Baruch atah Hashem, and then Elokeinu Melech Olam, which is distant. This is actually intentional. So he quotes Abu Draham here, who quotes the Riva, Shatam shetiknu habrachos b'losho nochach v'nistar. So nochach means present, nistar means hidden. But again, in our language, it's second person, third person. Because God also is revealed and hidden. Nigla mitzad masov, he's revealed in terms of his deeds, meaning how do we recognize God? He's a creator, he's a mashgiach, he does things for us. But nistar mitzad eluso, he's nistar, he's hidden in terms of his basic divinity, meaning the essence of God is hidden. So too our soul is seen and hidden. Seen in the sense that we're alive, but hidden that it's not a physical entity. Brach is speech, meaning maaseh, but machshava salev, which is hidden. What's in the heart is hidden, but what's uttered is audible. So too man is made of these two elements, the revealed and the hidden. Person would be worthy to cleave to his creator and stand at all times before from the standpoint of his neshama. Ela shenayochol mitzad gufo, but he can't because of his guf. The guf is a barrier between us and God. That's what death is. Rachman al-San, it said, removes the barrier between the soul and attainment of knowledge of God. So the bracha relates to both these concepts. In fact, the Rashba in his Truvos, Chelek Hey Siman Nun Beis, makes the same point. He calls it Nimtza V'Nistar, found versus hidden. And he basically says the same thing. There's a Tam Nigla V'Gonol To'elas B'Mashatikun Nusach HaBrachos Kein. Because we know the two yesodos in man. One is that to know that God is the essential reality, shein safek bazeh klal, there's no safek, but God is real, but he's also ein amitaso yisbarach museges, kim latzmo yisbarach levad. But his essence is only known to himself, so to speak, and not to us. Ukedelik bosh teapinos ha'ele ben ashasainu, kava nusach beniglu benister. You know, we should have these two cornerstones. Rooted in our intellects, we have both references. Baruch atah, blessed are you. Kimedaber mishu nimtza mefursa metzla chumedaberim upon him. It's like you're talking to kivyachol a friend. You say you. Who do you say you to? You don't say you to someone who's not there. Only say you to someone who is there. All right? If someone is not there, you could say he. All right, so this, you know, yeshiva shishtik, refer to the reshiva in the third person, even though he's right there. But nonetheless, most people don't, and therefore, you, by definition, means there's another being in front of you. But but you shouldn't think God, shouldn't get too intimate, too familiar, as if God is your friend. Gemara has an expression, a criticism that they occasionally lodge against different Amorim. Chavrusa klape shmaya. If they asked a question or made a statement that was considered a little too edgy. So what are you, God's friend? That you talk to him, you talk about him in this way? Chavrusa klape shmaya. To cure us of the tendency to indulge in chavrusa klape shmaya, that's why right after Brachat Hashem, we switch gears. Elkeinu is a general statement, our God. Or it's not just us. And the Melech HaOlam, he's far beyond us and far beyond me and all of us. And that's the progression from the personal and intimate all the way to the recognition of God's greatness. So therefore, you shouldn't have the machshava kavu asher kedishano likabo ben afshaseinu she'af al pishu mefursam mahus mitziuso nela menista she'ev shaladaber barak menista baruchu. And even though God commanded us, and we say he sanctified us with his commandments, nonetheless, we should go easy on the familiarity and maintain that intellectual and respectful distance between us and the Creator. So, 19. When we say God's name, and the truth is, I think we know this intuitively, but always good to reinforce it, we say God's name hundreds of times during the course of a day in the davening. So frequent that it can become almost rote. And yet, you see the way Chazal approached it, there should be trepidation before we utter the Shem Hashem. So he quotes the Tur about the kavana that a person should have. It's the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Hey. V'chavim b'rechosa perish amilo shemotzi mipiv. The essential kavana is to understand what you're saying, all right? Understand what you're saying. There's some leeway. We discussed this a year or two ago. If a person davens Lashon HaKodesh, so you link to the tefillah of the tzibur, even if you don't understand it. Because if you daven another language, you don't understand, so then you're not Yotzei. If you daven another language you do understand, you are Yotzei. But here the essential kavana is to understand the brachos. Uva hazkira Hashem, when you mention the Shem Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, the name, Yechavim perish kriyasa ba'alav dalad, the Shem Adnos, that God is the master of everything. That's the Shem Adnos. We read it like that, Ado. But you have in mind God is the master of all of nature. At the same time, Yechavenob perish ksivaso b'yud ke, meaning the yud ke vavke, the ineffable name of God, Lashon Havaya, Shehoya, Vehove, Vehiye, that God is beyond time. So not only we look at God as the master of everything, so we can see divinity in all of nature, we have to then have in mind as well that the name is written, yud ke vavke, as a name that really transcends nature, that God is not part of nature. There are people who believe this, the theists, that God and nature are identical. Some of the founding fathers were theists, like Jefferson, for example. So, but nonetheless, the point is that we recognize God as the God of nature, nature that we see, but also that he is far beyond nature. He created nature, created the natural order. Mechaber in Sif Aleph and Siman Hey essentially quotes the same thing. Yechaveh Brichas Perish Amilos, Shiasker Hashem, have in mind the Shem Adnos, and the Shem Yud Kevavke, Ho Yehovah V'yiye. Uvaskira Elokim, we mention Elokeinu, or Elokim, well, Elokeinu is in the Bracha, Yechaveh Shutakiv Bal Yecholos Ubalakochas Kulam. Elokim is always the name of the God of nature, because Kael means power, strength, all right? We say Elokim, that's the God of nature. Breshis Bar Elokim, that's the God of nature. As opposed to Hashem, which is really a transcendent God, transcendent being, and that it's through, the Hashgacha Pratis always comes through Hashem, not through Elokim. That's why it's rare in the Torah. It happens, but it's rare. God spoke to Moshe, but never Hashem and Moshe Lemar. By Deber Elokim, that's real Aseres HaDibros, in a handful of other places. But usually it's Hashem. Here the Mishnah Berurah says, we should be Mechave Perish Amilos, like Chazal said, Shal Yizrak HaBracha Mipiv. you should not throw the bracha from your mouth. Have kavana during the time of the recitation and say the brachas menachas. This, my friends, is a big challenge. It's a big challenge. I mean, many of us fall into the habit. I fall into occasion myself. You'll make the bracha like as the fork is going to the mouth. In that 0.7 seconds, you make the bracha. So what the Mishnah Berurah writes here reminds me of a famous story, a Hasidish tale that I always think about. I don't tell many Hasidish tales, but Rav Aaron of Karlin was at Shal Shuda, surrounded by his Hasidim. He picked up an apple, made a bracha, and he ate the apple. A Hasid picks up an apple, makes a bracha, and eats the apple, and has a smug look on his face. So, in the Hasidish tales, the Rebbe always knows what you're thinking. He says to his Hasid, I know exactly what you're thinking. I had an apple like the Rebbe had an apple, so therefore it's all the same. He says, I want to tell you the difference. He said, I had an apple, so I should be able to make a bracha. You made a bracha, so you should be able to have an apple. All right, that's a difference in conception. So now you see where we're coming from. The brachos exist, not, I mean, in a technical halachic sense, they exist as a matir for the achila. We'll see, l'shem aratzim lo, you have to acknowledge it, or you're moel. But in a conceptual, in a philosophical sense, we're surrounded by all these opportunities to say brachos, not that we should, you know, run to this food and that drink and buy this garment and all the other brachos that span the panoply of life, but rather we should use all these events as the impetus to say brachos. The ikar is not the hana, the ikar is the bracha. And that's the story of the Rebbe of Karlin. And that really is a reflection of the Chafetz Chaim's comment here, Shal Yizrok HaBracha Mipiv. We get into the habit of being Zorek the Bracha, of just tossing out the Brachas from our mouths very quickly in order to eat, then it's clear the Bracha just serves as a matir to eat. And it's not really a Bracha as it should be recited.
But didn't we learn last week about making 100 Brachas you shouldn't? Just make brachos, just stop and make brachos?
Yes, so but to make up the quantity...
making a bracha stam, so...
Well, to make up the quantity of brachos is not considered bracha shein etzricha. All right? That's a general... different opinions, but that's a general consensus. If you're making a bracha on an item so that you should be able to make up the quota of brachos, that won't be considered bracha shein etzricha unless it's completely frivolous. Like you wash... eat bread, you bench, you wash again, eat bread. So that's a bracha shein etzricha already. But if you're using different brachos and eating different foods and having different experiences, that won't be a bracha shein etzricha. Here he quotes a Sefer Chassidim. In all the various cases, including mitzvahs, k'shu no tel yodov, o shemevarach al haperos, you wash your hands, you make a bracha on fruit, or the mitzvahs, asher k'nishon b'mitzvosov, he should have in mind... Ilshem Boro, Shahifli Chasto Imo, that God who does these wonderful kindnesses for us and gave us fruit and gave us bread, Lahanas Mehem, Vitzivo Ala Mitzvos, and command us Mitzvos as well. So notice, the point is, like in the tale, God gave us Peros and Lechem that we should enjoy, not so we should enjoy them, but that we should be able to recognize His Chesed. That's the point. He gave us all these things to have a relationship with Him. And you shouldn't be like people do things by rote and they just say these things without really engaging the heart at all. So here we're always punished because this is a perennial problem for Jews. And of course, the pasuk in Yeshayahu, he said, the people came close to me with their mouths. I mean, they're constantly saying, Baruch Hashem, this bracha, Jila, uvisvasov kibiduni, and they honored me with their lips, v'libo richak mimeni, but their hearts, their minds, were distant from me. And there the Navi goes on to say that God will give wonders to our enemies to humble and subdue us. Here, so God's, in the Mechaber, Yudkei Sheho Yehovah V'yi, quotes the Gra, only have to be chavin the peir shamilos. So you go after what's written, even though there are many sodas involved in the brachos as well, and mitzvahs too. It's a famous story that the Rav Soloveitchik wrote in Halachic Man. His father, I think, then he was in Rasein, it was in Chaslovich, and it was a big Lubavitch town, and the Baal Tokeh was Lubavitcher, and before Tkia Shofar, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was the Makri, and the Chabadnik was crying, he's learning this, that, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said to him, like a good Litvak, what are you crying about? You cry when you take a lulav. What are you crying? It's a mitzvah. Let's do the mitzvah. All the kavanos that we have should never detract from the perisha milim and the maisa mitzvah that we're doing as well. And you see sometimes, we don't really have an Ashkenazic world as much, but if you look at a Svardi Siddur, Edona Mizrach Siddur, have all these letters and allusions to God and the brachos. There's the line, and there's above the line, in the line, within the words. If you go to the Moroccans, you'll see in their Sidurim. Baruch Atah Hashem, Hashem will have all these configurations of letters that represent some mystical understanding of God. We never had that in the Ashkenazic world. We focused like the Gras said, like the Mishnah Berurah said, like the Torah said for that matter. We mentioned Shem Hashem is Ha Yehovah V'yiyah. Mentioned Elokim, Shutakif Bal Yecholas, Bal Kochas Kula. Next, so we did Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, and Melech HaOlam. What about Baruch? That seems to be the key to everything. Baruch, blessed. And we revisit the question that was raised last week when he quoted the Rav in Yemei Zikaron. Who are we to say that God is blessed? What do we add? We say that God is blessed. Blessed what? So I mentioned the Rosh, that God is Mekor HaBrachos. It's not that we're saying that God is blessed, but we're acknowledging that God is the source of all blessings. That's totally different. Here he gives two pshatim. One, brachas tosefes bracha. It's an addition to bracha. We say something, someone is baruch. We're adding a bracha to the brachas that they have. But he also notes, and this is the Ibn Ezra, that the bracha is tefilah v'hagodas asidas. It's a prayer, but it's also a statement about the future. And that has to be understood. That's not Ibn Ezra. That's the next source, the Sefer Kum, Rabbi Yosef Abba. Ibn Ezra says, what's bracha? V'avarech alakim esyem ha-shvi, tosefes bracha. That we're adding bracha to what's already existed. And of course, that enhances the question. What are we adding to when we say that God is blessed? But Rabbi Yosef Abba, in a different understanding, in Maimer Dalet Perek Yud Tes, v'harbe dvarim nemru bazeh, many things you could say about Baruch. And so what seems most appropriate to him, it's a combination of telling the future and prayer as well. What's the pshat? He has a specific context in which he's explaining this. A Navi goes to someone, a prophet, and says to that person, your crop is going to be blessed. All right? He's Magad Asidos. He's telling the guy what's going to happen in the future. That's a bracha. We say, he gave the fellow a bracha. So what's that bracha in context? What the Navi is saying to him is that when you work, you're going to have an extra measure, 100 extra measures of blessing in your produce. Or cattle. What's the bracha in cattle? His cattle will increase dramatically. Tipolet paroso tishakel. His cows will give birth and there'll be no miscarriages. That's a bracha. A bracha is to take an entity, something good, and be mosif to it. You'll say, in the future you'll have this, you'll have even more. The two are conflated in some sense. A tosefes bracha and a prediction of the future. But in terms of predicting the future, how does that really work out? We say Baruch Atah Hashem. We're not predicting anything because that God is Melech HaOlam and he's Zokef Kfufim. That's the reality. We're not adding anything to it. So here he quotes again the passage from Yemei Zikaron, one of the drashos that Rav Soloveitchik gave. And he said, and it's interesting because you don't usually associate the Lithuanian Torah world with these ideas, but he says that Yesh Bechina, there is a certain dimension, Sha'af Ribono Shalom Kevyachal, but even God Zakuk Lano, even God needs us. It's even hard to say such things. My Rebbe heard me say such things, so he'd have a hard time with me. But the Rav said it, so just quoting him. Bechina Zo Michunak Ribono Shalom B'Shemos. This aspect of God, we have special names for. Shechina, Malchus, Matronisa, Matron, Kala, Bride, Malka Kadisha, Shochem Bikrbenu. What does it mean? That even though God is very near to us, nonetheless, He's still Mu'utaf Ba'av Ha'anan. He's hidden. She'ein Shum Ayin Eini Cholach Dorba. No eye can penetrate God. So Hadam, next page. Man is the one who is obligated to liberate God, to unshackle God, unshackle the Malka Kadisha, the Holy King, Mea Hester, Mea Fanon, from hiddenness, from the thickness of the cloud, Kadesha Yair Bezivo Pnei Olam, so that he should illuminate with his radiance the entire world. So God is Kol Yachol, and yet in one realm, God is dependent on us. What's that realm? Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyar shamayim. In other words, what's a melech if there's no malchus and there's no servants? What's a king if there's no kingdom and there's no territory and there are no citizens and there are no faithful who are going to worship the king? Those are the kings that Moshe was mentioning, that they always mention, the king of this, king of that. He's a king of nothing, all right? It's like in medieval times, they would give a guy a gift. He'd be a duke over a certain island where nobody lived. It's a very nice phrase, all right? Well, it's an emolument. What does it really mean? Nothing. No. About HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is not going to be a melech unless he has subjects. So, too, if you look at the other references, Shechina, all right? What's Shechina? Divine presence, okay? If there's no human being that acknowledges that God is present, is there really Shechina? Yes, in a technical sense, but in a practical sense, not. So to Matronisa Kala, all of these expressions. Gilui Shechina Talui Mutne Badam Atzmo. So the revelation of God's presence is really dependent on us. If we have the will, then we can elicit God's presence at all times. In the morning when we daven, in the evening when we daven, and of course we're saying brachos constantly. Then, Berchat Baruch Atah, Mashma, Adon Kol Olamim. We're asking God, we say, Baruch Atah, you are blessed. We're basically saying to God, Master of the Universe, Ana Galeinu Kvod Machusra Le'eni Kol Boi Olam. Please, reveal the glory of your kingdom to the eyes of everyone on earth. Bizchus Shagilisios Chalokai, and in the merit that I have uncovered you for all of mankind, B'tapuach Sheni Ochel, with this apple that I'm eating, of which I just said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Barei Pri Eitz, I just caused a Gilui Shechina in the world, or with the cup I'm about to drink of wine, Ani V'ata Mizdavgim Zebazeh. We are now united. We are joined together. It's as if, kivyachol, I brought the divine presence alive. I had this experience once. It was a year or two ago. I don't get out much, but I was invited to lunch by a non-Jew. All right? Nice fellow that I know. I'm visiting from out of town. Went to Mr. Broadway. All right? Fine cuisine. And doesn't really know anything about Torah at all. Okay? I was paying, so I wanted a reasonable place. His turn is coming up next month. In any event,
big spender that you are.
Yeah, that's correct. So I ordered a sandwich, right? And I said, excuse me, I have to go wash, all right? Went to wash, came back, made a bracha motzi. And he says, an older man, he says, what did you do? So I said, so before Jews eat bread, we go wash our hands, we sanctify our hands, and we say a blessing. We come back, head to the table, and before we say anything, we take the bread and make a bracha, motzi lechem min ha'aretz. He never seen such a thing, all right? But I saw in his eyes that, wow. I mean, non-Jews say grace, but it's never the same thing. It's almost the same prayer whatever they're saying. Jews are different. with each different item, I benched afterwards also, with each different item, so we're being Megala the Shrinah Bolam. That is a tremendous privilege that we have.
So you see, this is the point. The point is, as we're going through this, you see that it's all based upon sort of for you to be a star in this world.
Yes, that's absolutely. That's right. Correct. This is our moment.
This right. This
our moment. Right. That's right.
So it's not, you know, it's not about fanaticism, but it's you to be the connection.
That's correct. Now, the Rav Kedarka Bakodesh ended this passage. He said, if you ask me, what is Judaism? Ashiv lachem, I'll say to you, Hayadud hi bibirkat baruch atah. All of Judaism is encapsulated in those two words, Baruch atah. Baruch atah meaning we have the capability to be mosiv bracha, so to speak, to God by doing what? Megal shchinaso ba'olam. Be mamlich melachim, v'lo hamelucha. Nonetheless, if we're not mamlich melachim, who knows that he's a melech? We're the ones who do that. Finally, almost finally.
Life is so complicated.
What's that?
How do you focus on this?
You have to, that's his next point. Rikuz. Exactly. How do you concentrate? What's the level of concentration that has to be reached? So he quotes here a sefer, modern sefer, Zos HaBracha, of Alexander Mandelbaum. All right? And these are the guidelines. Yevarech bepemale. Pemale, you don't have the food in your mouth already. And smooth your lips. Uvenachat. Slowly, gently. Below your Dalek Shumos, you don't have to leave out any, don't leave out any letter. Like I mentioned last week, Ke'ilu Monem Mos, like you're counting money. You're counting bills. You're not counting 10, 20 at a time. You're counting each bill. You want to count. You want an accurate count. Bracha's the same way. You measure out each word. V'yivate esatevos bofen boruven ikud anachon. You should enunciate the words clearly and with their appropriate vowelization. V'tov levarach b'kol rom. That gets people's attention on the subway. It's good to bench out to make a brach out loud. When you say something out loud, same thing is true in tefillah, it arouses our concentration. At any event, you have to hear it, even if others don't. But brachos, these brachos, it's not like Kriya Shema. If you don't hear it, you're still yotze as long as you enunciate. You shouldn't stop in any dibur in the middle of the bracha, whether it's a brachas anenin or brachas amazon. Now, he says, when you're actually saying the bracha, ein lasa shumalacha, I feel tashmishkal, don't do other things. That's focus, that's rikuz. Kigon, like, lanif menifa, using a fan, alright, setting the table, playing with a child, drying your hands, winking, signaling with your fingers, etc. Because if you do all this, it's nirek shemivarech b'derech harayu mikre. He's making a bracha, meaning making a bracha, so you should be able to eat. All right? And not because of the need for a bracha. And that's the pasuk in the Tochacha in Bechukosai, im techemi bekeri. Keri means b'mikre. It's a happenstance. If you say a bracha, you say a bracha. But your heart is not really in it. Walking you're allowed to do. All right, you're allowed to say bracha while walking, and you should avoid motions unless the motion relates to bracha, like if you want to tell a child to be quiet for the bracha, or you want to signal a person that you know, should wait till you finish the bracha, you have to signal, otherwise you should not. Right. Yes, yes.
So someone, I don't remember who it was, mentioned to me that in Asher Yotzar, you shouldn't walk. And
stand still. It's always better not. He says mutter to do, but it's always better to stand still.
Think about it. I've tried for the last like month. It is incredibly difficult to stand still. Like you walk out, you're in your office, you would walk back to your desk, you make a way walking back to stand still, even for the 12 seconds. It's in your DNA.
That's correct.
You're a kid.
Yes. You stand still. That's why, because you're Omid Lifnei HaMelech. That's correct. You're talking to the king. Whenever you talk to the king, you're supposed to stand still. You get a question, Paul. Oh. Okay. Here he quotes again the Chamavajin, the Yalkut Yosef, about Hefsek. If you're benching, you're saying even Alamichya, and you heard Kaddish and Kedusha, or Baruchu, and how that works out, it's hard. I'm trying to think of a fact situation where you're eating, you're saying Birchas Amazon, and they're saying Kaddish. Maybe a guy's eating Shalshudas late, went to Davin Ma'ariv already, I don't know. But in any event, you can't stop. All right, so there's a high level, it's like Shimon Esrei, because we don't interrupt Shimon Esrei to answer Baruchu.
You're Sheva Brachos.
Sheva Brachos, yeah.
You're benching.
Ah, and they're saying the bracha. Okay, good. V'chein, even the fourth bracha, Tova Meitiv. All right, so not necessarily the Raisa. Ein litzok v'lanos l'kadosh kedusha. You can't stop for that either, because since we made it kashel Torah, you don't stop. But a person who's making other brachos, like Asher Yotzar, etc., only you can stop there. You can answer Kaddish, answer Kedusha. Uvacha yaskel bebracha, da'ayin sh'achas sh'amar rachagin rachalom. Him shekitzas ha'bracha, as long as you started the bracha already, the longer bracha, you could just answer Kaddish, amen yeshmei rabba. Finally,
which bracha are you allowed to interrupt and which ones?
He says, Birchas Asher Yotzar, Bar Nefashos, once you've said the text of the bracha. Yeah. Right. Those brachos are actually always after brachos, not before brachos. So before brachos, like a brichas anenin, so they can't be mafsik, because you'd be interrupting the brichas anenin from the hana. But these are after brachos. So finally, just an introduction to brichas anenin, and this was the other side. Famous Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Hey, Amen Aleph, Tana Rabbanan. Also, Adam Sheyenim and Alam Zebelo Bracha. You're not allowed to have hana from this world without a bracha. V'chanenem and Alam Zebelo Bracha. Mal, considered me'ila. Trespassing on something holy. All right? What should a person do? It's like Gemara says, Yelech Eitzel Chacha Mikav Yelam Deno Brachas. You have to learn brachas. All right? It's interesting. When we prepare Geirim for Geirus, always emphasize brachas. All right? Because they really accompany us through the day. A ger, I mean, I would always tell them, I want you to go to the mikveh and go for a meal and know exactly what brachos you have to say. Because that's really the introduction. That's like the Rav said. That's yadus, knowing what bracha to say to God. All right, so if you don't say, if you're nene without a bracha, it's gilu nene mikatshe shamayim, ksiv. You have two psukim that are contrasted. One, l'ashem urtzum loa, to the earth and everything in it is for God. But Reb Levi brought another bracha. Hashem, 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 Ratzon Hashem, L'Adam. They have a dichotomy. The first one said everything is God's. The second pasuk said the heavens are for God and the earth is given to man. Lo kashya. Kan kodim bracha, kan lacha bracha. Before we say a bracha, it's Hashem Ratzon Loa. After we say a bracha, then it becomes ours. That's our ticket to be able to eat. If you don't say a bracha, it's ki'ilu goza kadosh baruch hu kenes Yisrael. It's like you're stealing from God and the people of Israel. Why the people of Israel? Because we're the people who utter brachos that bring the Shechina into the world. Let's just look at number 28, the Maral in the Siv Avodah, Perek Yudalid. Ge'akol nivra l'sham eshes Hashem Yisbarach. Everyone's created to serve God. L'kach ha'kol kadosh el Hashem Yisbarach. K'mashar kodesh shemaim she'im isham shes Hashem Yisbarach. Everything in the world is created to be able to say brachas and thereby recognize God through doing that. The Maral says, Habracha hi pidyon. It's like redemption that we pay to be Gadala Shechinaso Ba'olam. Finally, a person has to be has to prepare himself for these brachas. And again, back to the Sefer, Vizos HaBracha, you have to have a clean mouth. Interesting. He says that's why you have to use mouthwash or brush your teeth in the morning before davening. Because if otherwise you're saying the Shem Hashem with a dirty mouth, that's disrespectful. You have to wear a yarmulke, cover your head when you're saying a bracha, because that's mar hachno umora l'vamakom baruch hu. That shows the humility and reverence for God, right? One of the etymologies of yarmulke, yira malka, fear of the king, all right? Of a yarmulke, it's fear of the king. You can't use your hand, because it's part of your body, en guf mechase guf, but you could put your arm with your sleeve, and that qualifies for a bracha. Of course, if you're in a restaurant, it's like hard to do like that, but I guess you find everything in New York. But you can ask someone else to put his hand on your head. Try that on the subway in order to make a bracha. Maybe it's where all these guys fell astray, all these media types just needed something to cover their heads for brachas. No, maybe not. But of course, the min of Klal Yisrael is always to keep our heads covered because that's Yira Malka as well. Like when we are swimming. Ordinarily, people don't wear yarmulkes when they swim. Nonetheless, you want to eat something? There's no hetta because you're eating in a pool. You have to still put something on your head to say a bracha. Just like your mouth has to be clean, so too our hands. If your hands are filled with oil or some other schmutz, you have to clean your hands before saying a bracha as well. Clean hands, clean mouth, holy soul. Okay. All right, I thank you all very much.